proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Ostman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. We've been looking at Israel's covenant relationship to God under the Mosaic Covenant. In that agreement, the Jewish people were commanded to love God. Indeed, they were required to love Him. At first glance, such a commandment seems out of place. That's because people often conceive of love as a feeling of the heart, not as an act of the will. How, they ask, how can a person have an obligation to love God? Loving God does involve having a positive emotional attachment to Him. The Hebrew word rendered as love, ahav, sometimes denoted an ardent desire for something or towards someone. In Genesis chapter 29, for instance, the narrative stated that Jacob loved Rachel to such a degree that he served her father Laban for 7 years to earn the right to marry Rachel. Ahav could designate familial affection, such as Abraham's love for his son Isaac in Genesis chapter 22, or Isaac's love for his wife Rebekah in Genesis chapter 24. Loving God, though, meant more than merely having a positive emotional attachment toward Him. Loving God encompassed several additional elements as well. God called upon His people to love Him with the totality of their beings. The greatest mandate ever given to the Jewish people required them to, quote, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might, unquote. A statement recorded in the 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and confirmed by Jesus Christ in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as being the greatest of the commandments. Loving God involved an individual making Him the highest priority in that person's life. Asaph acknowledged this when he declared in Psalm 73 that, quote, there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee, unquote. Loving God entailed worshiping Him. After all, God deserves to receive adulation for a number of reasons. God deserves worship due to His holiness. The author of Psalm 99 encouraged his audience to, quote, worship at His, God's footstool. Worship at His footstool, for He is holy, unquote. Thus, as David pointed out in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, God's people are to, quote, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, unquote. God deserves worship as the creator of all things. The writer of Psalm 95 exclaimed, quote, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, unquote. In the first chapter of the book of Romans, Paul chided those in who, in his words, quote, changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, unquote. The Bible reveals that God will receive adoration, love, from Gentiles as well as from Jews. In Psalm 22, David declared that, quote, all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee, unquote. God Himself avowed in Isaiah chapter 66 that a time would come when, quote, shall all flesh come to worship before me, unquote. Yes, the Jewish people were required under the Mosaic law to love God. However, by practicing idolatry, the Jewish people demonstrated that they lacked love for God. They had forgotten that, quote, the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God, unquote. God would judge the Jewish people for their lack of love. This is Mark Ostman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.